CIB. From the records of Australian police cases come these true stories of day and night vigilance that protects our lives and our property, of prevention and detection in the unceasing war against crime. CIB. From Victoria, the true story of fire. This is a true story from the records of Australian police cases. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. The early hours of the morning in a hotel in Winton, a Victorian country town. And one of the sleeping guests, Mrs. Reynolds, woke suddenly with a feeling that something was wrong.
Stan.
Hmm?
Wake up quickly.
Hmm? Yeah, what's the matter?
Wake up. I think there's a fire.
Aye?
Can't you smell smoke?
Yeah, I reckon you're right.
The hotel's on fire. I'm sure it is.
Well, I'll soon have a look. Oh, my heavens, you're right. The passage is alight. Well, come on, we've got to get you out of here. Come on, downstairs, quick.
Wait for me.
Get a move on, then. We'll be lucky to get through as it is.
Oh, it's so hard to see. Are you sure this is the way?
Yes, yes. Hang on to my hand. Hurry.
The whole place will be in blaze in a minute.
Yeah.
Which way will we go now?
Well, yeah, down the stairs and through the lounge. There's no hope the other way. Yeah, better in the lounge. The fire hasn't reached it yet. Oh, we'll have to get out one of these windows.
Who's that? Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Reynolds.
Looks like you've lost your hotel, Mr. Ross.
Yes, someone better ring for the fire brigade.
What, you mean no one's done that yet?
No, I've been too busy waking up the guests.
There's a fire bell just across the street, isn't there?
Yes.
Well, I'll run over and ring it then. Come on, Agnes. Out through this window.
I reckon they're getting it under control.
Yes, there are two men trapped in room 12.
What?
Two young new Australians. Only booked in this afternoon.
Are you sure they're there, Mrs. Bennett?
They must be. They haven't come out. I booked them in myself. I know they're in there. They'll never come out alive.
What are you talking about, Mrs. Bennett?
Those two new Australians are booked in this afternoon, Mr. Ross. They're trapped in their room.
Well, that's not right. They booked out and left before the fire started.
How do you know?
I just do know, that's all.
But I'm the manager, Vessel. I wasn't told.
Well, never mind about that. I'm the owner of the place, and I tell you, they've gone.
Even at this stage, it was fairly obvious that there were some rather strange features of this fire. In the first place, no one had bothered to call the fire brigade until some time after the blaze started. And then two guests had apparently booked out quite suddenly just before the fire. But when the blaze was eventually subdued, local police and firemen discussed even more unusual things.
It's pretty plain the fire started in three separate places, and all well apart from each other. One fire started in the dining room, another in the west wing. Third in the northern wing. Must all have been started separately.
You say they must have been started. You mean deliberately?
Well, Constable, there's a very strong smell of methylated spirits about the place.
Yes, I've noticed that. And it's my opinion that this is a case for the arson squad.
You don't mind if we ask you a few questions, Mr. Ross?
I suppose not, though I doubt if I can tell you much.
Hmm. Where were you when the fire broke out?
In bed, asleep.
And what woke you up?
My manageress, Mrs. Bennett.
You understand that we've been making quite a few inquiries, Mr. Ross?
I suppose you have. What about it?
Well, we've been informed that your bed wasn't slept in at all last night.
Not the bed I generally use, but I slept in another room last night.
Why?
Because it suited me, that's why.
I see. That would be room 17 you slept in, would it?
How do you know?
I told you, we've been making inquiries. And we were told that last night you moved your sleeping quarters to room 17.
Then what's all the fuss about?
Oh, there's no fuss. But we were also informed that the bed in room 17 hadn't been slept in either.
You have been making inquiries, all right, haven't you?
It's our job. Now, would you like to change your story about being asleep when the fire broke out?
No. I hadn't really got into bed. I was just lying on it, and I suppose I dropped off to sleep.
I see. Well, now, another thing. You informed your manageress that two new Australians had booked out just before the fire started.
Yes, that's right.
When did you last see those men, Mr. Ross?
About 7 o'clock, I think it was.
But that was hours before the fire started. How could you know they'd booked out just before the fire started?
Well, they must have. They weren't in their rooms, were they?
And your manageress has no record of their booking out?
They must have just gone.
Without paying?
Yes. Look, I know this must sound very funny, but I really don't know what went on in the hotel last night. Or at least I can't remember it clearly now. The fire upset me and confused me.
Yes, I suppose it must have. Mr. Ross, is it true that you put the hotel up for auction recently?
Yes, it is true.
Did you get your price?
No.
Have you tried to sell it since?
Yes, but the offers haven't been high enough.
How have the profits been lately, Mr. Ross?
Oh, do I have to answer that sort of question?
If you don't mind.
All right. Well, if you must know, the hotel's been a losing proposition for months now.
Mm. So you're anxious to get rid of it?
Yes, by a legitimate sale. But if you think I deliberately set fire to the place, then you're very much mistaken.
What about insurance, Mr. Ross?
What about it?
The hotel is insured, I take it.
Well, of course it is.
For how much?
Just over 50,000.
Hmm. Isn't that a very high cover for such a hotel?
I don't think so.
I see.
Now, look here, Sergeant. I know what you're getting at, and I don't like it very much.
We're only trying to get at the facts. It's pretty clear to us that the fire wasn't an accident.
You're only guessing.
Oh, no, that's not right. Fires just don't break out in three places at once. Three places far apart from each other. And the smell of methylated spirits around the place was very suspicious, to say the least of it.
Well, that might be so, but none of it proves that I'm an incendiarist. If the fire was deliberately lit, I didn't do it.
And you can't offer any suggestion as to how it might have happened?
No, I can't. Definitely not.
Suspicions were one thing, proof was another. The men from the arson squad pursued their inquiries to the best of their ability. But it was obvious it was going to be a long and difficult job to sheet home an offence to any particular person. And then, one morning not long after the fire, a Melbourne detective on exchange duty in Sydney was called to the telephone.
Hello, this is the senior detective Bryant.
I want to report that I'm being blackmailed.
Who is this speaking, please?
I'd rather not give my name at the moment, but I'm being blackmailed.
Would you like to give me the details?
It's two foreigners who are doing it.
Yes?
They've rung me up several times, and they've written letters to me, and they've even called at my flat to see me.
What grounds do they say they have for blackmailing you?
It's about a fire at a place in Victoria.
Oh, what place?
A place called Winton in Victoria. There was a fire at a hotel there, and these foreigners say that they'll tell the police all about the fire unless I give them £3,000.
Do you know anything about the fire?
No, I don't. But I'm scared of them. I think they might even kill me. I'm frightened out of my life.
And don't you think you should tell us your name and your address so that we can help you?
Oh, no, I couldn't do that. Not over the phone, anyway.
Then would you come in here to headquarters and we'll talk it over? Are you still there?
Yes, I was just thinking.
Well, what do you say? Will you come in and just tell us all about it, eh?
Yes, perhaps I could do that.
Very well. You make a time and I'll be here.
Would tomorrow morning do?
Yes, any time you say.
All right. 11 o'clock then.
11 o'clock. And ask for Senior Detective Bryant.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
I still think you should tell me. Oh, well, I suppose we'll find out what it's all about at 11 o'clock tomorrow.
Call for you from Sydney, Sergeant.
Thanks. Hello?
That's you, Sid. It's Bryant here.
Oh, hello, Nev. How's things in Sydney?
Not so bad at all. You're on that fire at Winton, aren't you?
Yes. Not getting very far with it, though.
Well, maybe I can help a bit. I had a phone call from a woman yesterday who wouldn't give her name but claimed she was being blackmailed about the fire by two foreigners.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Well, she arranged to come in here this morning at 11 o'clock. It was 3 hours ago, and she hasn't shown up.
Hmm.
Looks like she's not going to. But I've had the consorting boys on the job, and they've come up with the information that there are a couple of Italians going around the town, and they're telling people that they're going to get £3,000 out of some woman because of the fire.
Have you caught up with the Italians yet?
No, not yet, but we will. We've a pretty good idea who they are.
But you don't know who the woman is?
No. I thought you'd like to know about it, though. And we'll be in touch with you as soon as we can turn up anything more on it.
Oh, thanks, Nev. In the meantime, I think we'll have another scout around up there at Winton. See if we can get a line on who this woman might be. Mrs. Bennett, you've been manageress of this hotel for how long?
Only a few months.
Well, maybe you could tell me this. Is there any woman you know of in Sydney who has an interest in or a working knowledge of the hotel?
Oh, I wouldn't know about that.
There's no woman at all you can think of?
Oh, not one that has an interest in the place. A financial interest, I mean. Oh, there is Mrs. Healy, of course.
Mm. Who's Mrs. Healy?
She used to be manageress here before I took it on.
Oh?
A great friend of the owner's, she is.
A great friend of Mr. Ross?
That's right. Often goes up to Sydney to see her.
Has Mr. Ross been up there to see her recently?
Oh, yes, not more than about 10 days ago.
I see. Do you know where Mrs. Healy lives?
Oh, not exactly. Somewhere in Elizabeth Bay, I think. But you're not saying she had anything to do with the fire, are you?
No, we're not, Mrs. Bennett. But it's important that we talk to everyone who might be able to help us in the smallest possible way.
And now you're going to talk to Mrs. Healy?
I think that's highly probable, Mrs. Bennett. Yes, highly probable.
Was the answer to the mysterious fire to be found in Sydney? The detectives were going to waste no time in finding out.
Two men have been trying to blackmail me. Two foreigners.
Then it was you who rang the Sydney detective office and complained of the blackmail threat?
Yes.
But you didn't keep your appointment with the detective who spoke to you?
No, I was too frightened to.
Frightened of what, Mrs. Healy?
Of the men who were trying to blackmail me. I thought that if they discovered I'd gone to the police, they might hurt me in some way.
Are they in a position to blackmail you, Mrs. Healy?
What do you mean?
Do you know anything about the fire at the Winton Hotel?
No, of course I don't.
Then why should they be acting the way they are?
I don't know. I really can't tell you.
Hmm. You've said that these two foreigners have actually been here to your flat?
Yes, that's right. They have.
Then do you think you'd know them again if you saw them?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm quite sure I would.
Soon after this interview with Mrs. Healy, the detectives, acting on information received, located the two foreigners they believed could assist them and took them to headquarters for questioning.
Your name is Giovanni Zecchi.
That's right.
We're investigating a fire at a hotel at a place called Winton in Victoria.
I do not know anything about that.
And what about your friend? What about you, Arturo?
I do not know anything either.
Hmm. Have either of you been to Winton recently? Well?
Yes, we have.
You agree with that, Arturo?
Yes.
Why did you go there?
We were asked to take some things there.
What sort of things?
Some cans.
Some cans? Cans of what?
We do not know what was in the cans. All we know is that a man and a woman come to us and ask us to take these cans to Winton and deliver them to a Mr. Albert.
Mm-hmm. And who were the man and the woman who came to you?
The man's name was Stephen, and the woman's was Edna.
Is that all you know about them?
Yes.
I see. Did they offer you money to take the cans to Winton?
Yes.
How much money?
£100.
And you agreed to do this job for them?
Oh, yes. But we had nothing to do with the fire. We took the cans to the man at Winton. We stayed at the hotel for a meal. But then we left. We came back to Sydney.
At what time did you leave?
Oh, about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Now, we've received a complaint from a Mrs. Healy to the effect that two foreigners have been trying to blackmail her about the fire. Well, do you know anything about that?
No.
Giovanni?
We do not know this Mrs. Healy.
What if I told you her first name was Edna?
It makes no difference. We do not know her.
Would you be prepared to take part in an identification parade?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. We'll try to arrange one as soon as we can. All right, Mrs. Healy. You've identified Giovanni and Arturo as the two men who came to your flat and tried to blackmail you. You have no doubts in your mind?
No, none at all.
Are you prepared to make a statement?
I'll tell you all I know.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, they told me they'd gone to the hotel to rob the place.
Yes.
But then they said they couldn't open the safe, so they set fire to the hotel.
Go on.
Well, that's all I know.
But that hardly explains why they should try to blackmail you.
I can't imagine why.
You have nothing further to add?
No, nothing at all.
Now, Giovanni, you've been identified as one of the men who tried to blackmail Mrs. Healy. What have you to say about that?
It is not true. We do not try to blackmail her. All we did was to take the cans to Winton.
Have you anything more to tell us about the people who asked you to take those cans to Winton? The man and the woman?
I suppose I might as well tell you. The woman was Mrs. Healy.
Hmm. And the man?
Well, we knew him only as Stephen.
Mrs. Healy has told us that you admitted to her that you had gone to the hotel to rob the place.
No, that is not right.
And that subsequently you set fire to the hotel.
No. What we tell you before is the truth. We went there to deliver the cans of methylated spirits.
Oh, then you do know what was in the cans.
Yes.
And you've known all along.
Yes, but we do not start the fire. We had nothing to do with the fire.
You've told us that you delivered the cans of methylated spirits to a Mr. Albert at the Winton Hotel.
That's right.
Would you know this Mr. Albert again?
Yes, I'm sure we both would.
Good. We'll ask you to attend another identification parade before very long. Only this time, we'll be asking you to try to identify someone.
So now the detectives asked Mr. Ross, owner of the hotel, to take part in an identification parade in Sydney. And the two men, Arturo and Giovanni, identified him as the man they'd delivered the cans of methylated spirits to at the hotel at Winton, the man they knew as Mr. Albert.
Well, the position now seems to be this. Mrs. Healy has said that Giovanni and Arturo tried to blackmail her. They claim she was the woman who asked them to carry cans of methylated spirits to a Mr. Albert at Winton.
And now the Italians have identified Ross, the owner of the hotel, as Mr. Albert.
Right. But we still haven't enough evidence to show who actually started the fire. Mrs. Healy said the Italians admitted doing it. They deny that. Ross claims to know nothing. I don't think we've got nearly enough evidence to put before a jury.
Arturo's the man we should work on, I think. He's a pretty frightened man, as far as I can judge.
Yes, I think you're right. Let's have him in. Now, Arturo, we must get to the truth of this matter.
But I've told you everything I know.
Well, we don't think so. We think you really have been trying to blackmail Mrs. Healy.
No! No, that's not right!
She received several letters demanding £3,000. Did you write those letters?
No!
I have here two of the letters she received. Have a good look at them. There now. Have you ever seen them before?
No.
Right. Here's a pencil and a piece of paper. I want you to write some words for me, Arturo.
What words?
These. Arson is a felonious burning. Can you write that?
Yes.
Finished? And let me see. Arturo, how do you spell arson?
A-R-S-O-N-Y.
Yes, I see. That's what you've written. And that's the way it was spelt in these letters to Mrs. Healy. And it's the wrong way to spell it, Arturo. Quite the wrong way. Now, what have you got to say? You did write those blackmail letters to Mrs. Healy, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did, because Giovanni told me to.
Would you like to tell us everything you know?
Yes. I'll tell you everything.
Arturo has signed a statement implicating you in blackmail, Giovanni. Have you anything to tell us?
I do not know anything about the blackmail. All I know is that we agreed to take methylated spirits to the hotel at Winton to burn it down.
You admit now that you were taking it there to burn it down.
We knew it was going to be used for that, but we did not light the fires.
Who told you the methylated spirits was to be used to start a fire?
The man Stephen. The man who asked us to take it there.
Who is this man Stephen, Giovanni?
He's the same man we knew as Mr. Albert. The man we delivered the cans to at Winton.
You are saying that Stephen and Mr. Albert are one and the same person, right?
Yes.
And that is the man Ross, whom you identified for us?
Yes.
All right, Giovanni. That'll do for the time being. Well, we're getting closer. But I'm afraid we're not close enough.
There's still no evidence to show who actually started the fire.
No. Russell denied, of course. Arturo and Giovanni have already denied it.
All we really have is an admission of attempted blackmail.
That's right.
Well, I still think Arturo's our man. I think we should arrange for him not to be proceeded against if he'll tell us the complete truth.
Yes, I agree. Let's see if we can fix it.
And so it was arranged that Arturo should not be proceeded against if he'd tell the whole true story. And to this, Arturo was only too happy to agree.
You let me go, I tell you everything.
We won't let you go straight away, Arturo. But if you will tell us everything and give evidence in court, you won't go to jail.
Oh, that's all right. I'll tell you everything. What I've said up to now, it's only part of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I now wish to tell you the whole truth.
Good.
We first arrived at the hotel about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The man we knew as Mr. Albert led us around the hotel, pointing out the timber parts likely to take fire easily.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Albert told us to have a good rest. We stayed in a room until after midnight. Then Mr. Albert came into the room and he said, "Are you right? I'll be back later when all is quiet." And then he left and we waited.
Uh-huh.
And he came back later, he said, "All right." Then we went down, we took the cans of methylated spirits from the car. I knew it was methylated spirit by the smell on the way down. Uh-huh. Mr. Albert and Giovanni, they took 2 cans, they went upstairs. I took one of the cans, I spilled it all around the back part. I spilled the spirit on the back stairs, 2 flights of stairs up, and some in the rooms downstairs. The rooms were stuffed with old mattresses and timber parts of beds. And then Mr. Albert and Giovanni, they came running back. Mr. Albert said, "Put the cans in the car." And we put the cans in the car and we drove off for Sydney.
I see.
When we left the hotel, there was no fire where I'd spilled the methylated spirits. But I think there was a fire upstairs because Mr. Albert and Giovanni came running back and they were in a hurry. We threw the cans away near a bridge when we were driving back to Sydney. And we arrived back in Sydney about midnight the next day. And a few days later, Giovanni handed me £100 in notes for my part in burning the hotel.
So the police case was virtually complete. But before Ross and Giovanni were brought to trial, an attempt was made to get Arturo out of the country, an attempt that was foiled by the police in Perth. Ross and Giovanni went to jail. Arturo was not proceeded against and has kept out of trouble ever since. The motive for the burning was, of course, the money for which the hotel was insured. And the plan might well have succeeded if a guest at the hotel hadn't promptly called the fire brigade and if 2 men hadn't been just a little too greedy and attempted blackmail. Only names, place names and dates were altered in this true story. It was dramatized in the records of Australian police cases by Roland Strong, who now says goodbye till next week, when there'll be another true story in this series, which is produced in the studios of Hector Crawford Productions by Dorothy Crawford.